Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Bob, let's begin with kind of an overview of this summit that's taking place in the Twin Cities this week. I know it involves renewable fuels and some foreign markets. So how and why are they being tied together here?
Well, of course, exports are critically important to the U.S. ethanol industry, as our markets domestically are being constrained by an EPA that doesn't seem to want to maximize the use of renewable fuels. They want to put all kinds of shackles on us. You know, our ability to export is critical to the bottom line. And so we work with the U.S. Grains Council and Growth Energy to try to promote export opportunities every place we can. And the event in Minneapolis this week is really designed to provide an opportunity for foreign countries to come in, get a sort of an ethanol 101, understand what renewable fuels, ethanol specifically, might do for their energy policy, their economic policy, their farm income, their consumers. Ethanol is the lowest cost source of octane on the planet today, and there's not a place in the world where the greater use of renewable fuels like ethanol would not be a significant advantage to the environment and for consumers.
Which countries at this point anyway would you consider the strongest prospects as far as there's a need for ethanol and a strong relationship between the U.S. and that country so that things could really get going?
Well, most certainly Mexico is a huge opportunity for us, and there's been some activity of late where the country seems to be allowing more ethanol to be used. But Japan, the Pacific Rim, any developing nations where more vehicles are being provided for a growing economy is someplace where there'll be a growing fuel market that ethanol can help to serve.
I talked to Tom Slate from USGC a little while ago and asked him this question regarding, and you touched on it already, some of the uncertainty with how EPA is handling the renewable fuel standard, what these foreign markets think of that uncertainty and what kind of an impact it might be having right now. Is it palpable?
Well, it is. We exported 1.3 billion gallons last year. We need to dramatically increase that to make up for more than a billion gallons of RFS demand that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has destructed by giving out waivers to small refineries that don't need relief from a program. I mean, how in the world a small refinery could demonstrate economic hardship because there's a program that requires them to blend more of a less expensive product? I mean, it fails the straight face test at the surface.
With what's been proposed by Pruitt and the EPA, something that there's been more talk on more recently has been RIN credits on exports. Explain to me in some detail why that would be damaging to the renewable fuels industry.
Well, you know, allowing exported ethanol to count toward an obligated party's domestic requirement is an affront to the program and, quite frankly, isn't legal. But it would cause issues because it is artificially increasing the supply of RIN credits that are used for compliance purposes. And it is the RIN credit system that not only builds flexibility into the program, but provides ultimately an incentive to gasoline marketers to invest in blending equipment for higher-level blends or to offset the cost of infrastructure that would allow them to offer consumers higher blends, E85, E15, and other higher mid-level blends. So by devaluing the credits, they are undermining ethanol growth, and that is antithetical to what the entire renewable fuel standard was all about. It's not allowed by the law. It's not necessary for the success of the program. All it does is line the pockets of big oil companies that have refused to make the investment decisions to allow for higher level blends, allow for them to meet their requirements, and it costs consumers and it damages the farm economy. It's hard to imagine how President Trump, who campaigned across the Midwest and was rewarded for his support of ethanol and the renewable fuel standard, could support such a destructive policy.
Bob, I don't know if this has legs to it or not, but I saw a news release yesterday from the Urban Air Initiative, and it's talking about a proposed rule by the EPA that would make ethanol blends above 15% illegal in anything other than flex fuel vehicles. And supposedly, the EPA has sent these proposed rule, this proposal to the Office of Management and Budget. Are you familiar with this? Is this true?
Well, I am familiar generally with the rule. I do not believe that it has been sent to OMB or is ready for prime time. In fact, the agency's been pulling back on a lot of the regs rules provisions, so I'd rather wait and see exactly what is proposed before commenting.
And the last thing, end on a good note, I guess you could say, it seems like we're seeing some momentum building for a waiver on reed vapor pressure to make E15 available year-round. Am I right in sensing that the momentum is building?
Yes, absolutely. I think at a meeting in the White House 2 weeks ago, there did seem to be agreement that the government should move quickly to approve the use of E15 year-round to remove some of the regulatory barriers that have thus far kept E15 from being offered to consumers in the summer months. That's critically important and will indeed allow for tremendous expansion in E15 availability if and when they get it done. Now, EPA has to propose a rule. They've got to take comment. They've got to finalize it. We would anticipate that there'll be legal challenges from an oil industry that does not want to see ethanol expand, but ultimately will prevail. And I think having this one regulatory hurdle removed will be critically important.
Is there no way to fast track something like that?
You would think that there would be, but unfortunately, probably not. It will take several months for them to get a proposal out, and probably 6 months after that before something could be finalized. So I don't think you're looking at a situation where E15 might be available to consumers this summer. I think you're looking at next summer. But just getting them moving would be a good start. You know, the Renewable Fuels Association has been asking EPA to address this regulatory issue since the very day that they approved the use of E15 5 years ago. We have pressed them repeatedly, and they have steadfastly refused. Now, it doesn't make any sense because E15 would be better for consumers. It's most certainly better for the environment. It would help lower the cost of gasoline with a higher octane fuel. There's literally no reason why EPA should have maintained the regulatory provision that has prohibited gasoline marketers from offering this fuel year-round. And so I am, on the one hand, very grateful that there's finally movement toward it. On the other hand, it does underscore the frustration that it is taking so long and so much to get us to this point.
Bob, anything else from a policy perspective or on the summit happening this week?
You know, I think right now Washington, D.C. is as dysfunctional as it has ever been, and I don't really anticipate much happening on the Hill. So it is a good thing that the industry is coming together in a conference in Minneapolis today and tomorrow to try to promote the increased export of ethanol. We've got to take our future by our own hands, and this conference is one way of doing that.